Welcome to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities
and bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
New Year and welcome to the program. I hope summer is treating you well. Today's show was put together by Gutluak and recorded off-site. So, season's greetings and please enjoy the first Resettled Radio program of 2018.
Welcome to the Resettled Radio. It's me and Ashley talking about the youth development. Welcome back, Ashley.
Thank you.
Let's talk about your role in youth development coordinator. Mm-hmm. So when you came, do you have an idea what you were getting into?
Yes and no. So I knew that I was going to be working with the youth, but I wasn't sure of the activities or projects, and I guess that was the beautiful thing about this role is that it was just kind of like given to me. There you go, take the role and come up with some activities or projects that you think would be useful for the youth. And I just went ahead and did some research and had a chat with some of the youth members from our different communities and, you know, looked at their needs and what they wanted and just try to put some stuff together for this year. And also quite a few things that are coming for next year, so I'm quite excited for next year.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. When you were coming in, what was in your mind about ARCC? Because this is an organization that you have never maybe not associated with pretty much for quite some time.
So I was quite involved. I was involved quite a bit with the Kurdish youth. So we started a Kurdish Youth Association New Zealand group, and where we brought the Kurds together. And we thought that was important because we felt isolated, and two, there's quite a few of young Kurdish people, and we just wanted to kind of, you know, feel like we're one community and not just wait for Kurdish parties or, you know, things organized by the adults or the members. So we wanted something that the youth could do and come together, and that was quite successful for some time. And then I moved on to actually working with the Kurdish community, and that's when I met Aban and got to know ARCC and what they were doing. So I was involved with their project. But that was quite a few years ago, maybe 4 years ago.
Maybe 4 years ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had a bit of an idea of what ARCC was about and what they were doing. So I did have some information, but obviously I learned a lot more when I started working.
But now, since you are now in the resettlement sector, so has it opened your eyes a little bit wider?
Because
definitely. You are dealing with a lot of agencies in the same role, different roles.
Definitely. So, I mean, I didn't know the amount of work we do, and I'm not just saying this because I work here. I'm serious. The amount of work that we do and how useful it can be for the resettled community, it's amazing, and I think that's what makes it nice, the fact that it's very rewarding as well. The other organisations as well, so obviously I was not from this. I mean, my background is academic.
I
study and I've done marketing and stuff, so I haven't really worked in the community or non-profit organisational sector. And this is my first time, and I think that's what makes it even more exciting.
And the marketing part comes in handy.
Yeah, I definitely have done some branding and rebranding and things like that, which is fun. So it's quite nice to like be able to use your expertise in your workplace.
So now with the youth development that you have, do you have collaboration with other agencies? Because I know other agencies like Mixed and Red Cross and other agencies, they have a lot of youth groups and you know quite a lot of them.
Yeah.
So do you have this kind in mind that you might have some sort of collaboration with other agencies?
Yeah. So since working here, I've realized that there are a lot of agencies, organizations that cater to the youth, or their focus are the youth. And a lot of them are doing amazing work, and it's nice to be able to learn from them and network with them and plan things in the future together. But at the same time, a lot of them are not very active, and a lot of the services are duplicated. So it's everything's available for the resettled youth. It's just a matter of, you know, one, minimizing so many things that are activities or workshops that are happening that are repetitive, because it also makes it harder for the youth as well. They don't know which one to go to. They're overloaded with a lot of activities and workshops provided by
different agencies.
One thing I did think of was, and along with a number of other organizations, and it was, you know, they thought of the same thing, so we kind of have come together and had one brief discussion where we want to be able to collaborate on a number of things. So we thought it's better to do one thing and do it perfectly and invite everybody, as opposed to each one of our, you know, each organization doing something little, you know, would be saving money and on resources, and it would be better for the youth that can come in one day.
Because one of the things that we need to avoid, we have a lot of agencies doing the same thing, and you know, a duplication of the work.
It's quite hard with so many agencies and providing the very similar services. It's actually it makes it very hard for the youth. So only, you know, not very often do we see a new service provider that has a unique proposition or something that other agencies don't. So it's not very easy, and you know, getting to know all the agencies, and obviously when it comes to collaboration, you want to be able to work with agencies that have the same mission and vision. Exactly.
Same work.
So
That's a lot of work.
So that's work in progress at the moment. Oh, yeah. I am quite excited, and they're quite excited, and so. Can't wait for next year.
But you have a lot of youth, actually, from different backgrounds. So what was the idea that, you know, the youth and the youth ambassadors and the youth network should be not necessarily be from refugee background, but it could be open to anyone?
So at the moment, or up till now, we've focused on working with the resettled or the former refugee youth. I think it's important to integrate, so whether it's migrants or just even Kiwis, it doesn't matter, as long as there's a bit of integration. I think that's important when it comes to resettlement, as opposed to just focusing on, I mean, we don't want to also isolate ourselves, so the former refugees, we don't want to isolate them. We want them to be able to integrate and communicate and mix with people that have been here for 30 years, or people that are born here, or people that are from here, people from, you know, people that are migrants and not necessarily have come here as refugees. So I think it's quite important for that integration, and that's something I want to, or even just I think ARCC want to kind of focus on for next year or the next few projects at least.
I think that's a very great idea. You know, one might ask, you know, the difference between these two entities in the youth development, like youth ambassadors and the youth network. So someone might know, someone who does not know what is going on might ask, so what is the difference between the two?
So youth ambassadors are one or two members of the youth within a community that are ambassadors. So we would have, say, for example, one person from the Eritrean community who would be an ambassador for the youth. So we would hold you know, communication and leadership workshops, which is one that I'm working.
So basically, youth ambassador is on the leadership level.
Yeah, so they're on the leadership level. We would work with them on a number of things, or invite them to a number of projects, and then they kind of go back to their community, the youth in their community, and they share what they've learned, they share the information. So they, for most of the things that we would do, they would be the main point of contact.
So they act like mentors.
Yeah.
maturing other youth to join them.
And we do train them, so we do have a communication and leadership workshop. So 1 week workshop where they, 1 or 2 weeks where they come and take part, and they would get a certificate and graduate. So it's something that's done quite professionally.
Because given your background from, because you are identified with a refugee background, sometimes does it make you easily connected to the youth?
Oh, yeah. It's quite nice to know people that have walked a similar path to you. I feel like there's that connection instantly. Not that I don't connect with my Kiwi friends.
Yeah.
Do not get me wrong if you're listening. I love you guys. But it's nice. I mean, I don't know. I really enjoy working with people from different ethnic backgrounds. People that are, especially former refugees, and I mean, I know the struggles and their family, what they've gone through, and I, you know, been working with people, so.
All right, let's go for a break, and we will come back. When we come back, we will reflect on the summit that we just concluded, and then we will make a reflection on the big day last week.
Yeah.
The Kurdish one.
Cool.
Yeah, thank you. We'll come back.
Esto es amor.
welcome back to Reserve Radio. This is Galois Shulan.
Hi, this is Ashley.
Ashley. So we have been discussing a lot of things about the youth and youth development and the role she has involved in. It's a lot of work, and you know, this is a very good film and amazing. So let's do a little bit of a reflection on the summit that we just concluded, mm-hmm. the Auckland Resettlement Sector Annual Summit.
Mm-hmm.
This is your first time to experience that. I know I had one in 2015 when I just came.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was my first one. And this is the third summit, actually.
Okay.
Because they just started. They started in 2014, and then they had one in 2015. And in 2016, they did not have. The reason was because we had anniversary, 10 years anniversary.
Oh, yes.
And we had a book launch and the summit. It was like combined. It was so huge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason that the one last year was skipped. It was like blended into the 10th anniversary. So now, what is your experience about this? Because this is your first time to be in the sector, and a lot of organizations from the sector came. And it was not for ARCC per se, but you know,
yeah.
a lot of agencies involved. We got ARMS in there. We got RES New Zealand,
yeah.
over there. We got Red Cross, our mm. main partners. So then, what is your experience on this?
I quite enjoyed it, especially because it was my first time to see all of these organizations in the sector come together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great for each one of them to come forward and say, okay, this is what we're doing, this is what we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody like me, especially who does not have much knowledge in this industry or sector,
mm-hmm.
It's quite good for me to learn what each one of them do,
mm-hmm.
and what services they provide. So obviously in the future, if I have any issues with a youth, you know, if I have anything, I will know who to refer to,
yeah,
or
yeah.
who's an expert in this area.
Even within the presentations they made, you know, you can even draw a line from that, you know, the
yeah.
similarities and
yeah.
differences that
yeah.
people are, you know,
yeah.
kind of work people do.
So in the beginning, I had, you know, I was a little bit confused. I was like, I feel like that we're not us necessarily, a lot of the organizations, again, not necessarily as well, just youth organizations, but just other ones, that there's a lot of similarities.
Mm.
Why are we providing the same services, etc.?
Mm-hmm.
But at the summit, they were very clear, and yeah, like you said, they did draw lines. Like, this is what we do, and that's
yeah,
it, and this
yeah.
is what so and so does.
Yeah.
It was.
And it sounds like a yearly reporting thing,
yeah.
by the way, because they say this is what we have done
yeah.
since that summit, and this is what we are doing
yeah.
now, and this is what we're going to do
mm-hmm.
in the future.
Yeah.
Each agency presenting itself that way. I think it's kind of branding too.
Yeah. And very good information. Bit of an information overload, but
a lot of it together.
And at the same time, actually, it was also quite good to meet our partners as well, and with a lot of them we've been exchanging emails for inviting them to certain workshops and events, and but it's quite good to meet them in person and put a face to a name, and I guess even for them as well, I mean, there was, you know, their first time, there's a youth
first
development
time.
Coordinator, and they've probably heard about it, and
I would ask you what is your best part in the whole thing, because I know my best part in there. My best part was the award ceremony.
The awards, yeah.
Yeah, the awards ceremony.
Yeah, the awards was quite nice, and I quite liked the activities as well, where we you know, we would ask them, what do you think, and we had some questions up on the board,
and they
had to type in their questions, and I think it was quite cool how, you know, we had this really cool technology where they could just go on their laptops and just, you know, put in their answers, and we can collect information and ideas that way.
Yeah, and John seems to be a very experienced person.
Oh, yeah, John is an amazing MC.
And after the break, everyone was like, where did you get this guy from?
It was great. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Definitely can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, I think the next one will be the same. I don't know whether we will have the same people running it, because it is now three. I think Red Cross have just joined it. I'm not sure, but I think by next year, I think it's some other agencies will join in.
That would be quite good. We could expand and share it and Yeah, it's quite nice.
Yeah, people view it as ARCC thing, but, you know, it's a kind of collaboration between the agencies. I don't know why we... Because we're in the forefront? I don't know.
And because we got up at 5:30 in the morning to decorate the venue as well.
Yeah. I think that's part of it, eh?
Which was also fun.
I'm thinking, why don't we do it in a different region in the state of Auckland next year?
That would be quite cool.
We can do it maybe in, not in Wellington, but maybe in other cities close to us, like Hamilton. Those cities. Because we have a lot of former refugees there, too.
We do.
We can build connection in that. And we have other agencies working there on the resettlement sector. And they don't belong to Auckland, but they're there.
They're doing quite a bit.
It's a good idea. I think a resettlement sector would be a kind of, you know, expanding that way.
Mm.
Let's talk about the big day. I serve it for the last one, the Wonder Woman.
Oh, yes.
People don't stop talking about it. Even yesterday in AGM of Arms, they were talking about it. You did a very great job. And where is Isley? Isley at work. Oh, she did good. it was very good. How did the idea came about?
I'm a bit of a feminist. And just, you know, taking my mum as an example, her family members are quite educated. She's the older one, and, you know, she has a lot of potential, and if she was given the opportunity to have her voice heard, at the moment she's thinking of writing a book. You know, just a lot of things, that potentials that she had that she didn't get the opportunity to have her voice heard, and someone help her, and, you know, that sort of stuff. And that's just a tiny bit of it. But the main thing is, there's a lot of, since joining this sector, I felt like there's a lot of negative stigma around former refugees, especially women. You know, that I feel like that we're in some ways looked down at without actually realizing, one, some of the women are doing amazing jobs, doing amazing things to give back to the community, in terms of education, in terms of work, in terms of a lot of other things. They're, you know, resettling in very, very well, and I think it's time that they get acknowledged. And I guess this was just the beginning of it.
Yeah, because when you acknowledge someone, you know, there's this feel that, you know, I become part of that person. And all of that.
So I tried to, you know, find different age groups, different, you know, women that are giving back to the community in a different way.
Was it hard for you to find people?
Yes and no. So a few of them are actually youth members of ARCC.
Okay.
So, you know, in terms of what, you know, those stuff, the work that they're doing, like the community work that they're doing, like homework centres and working with other, you know, other youth, and then activities within their own communities and things like that. So I think ways that they're giving back to the community. It wasn't very hard. Actually, I won't lie, it was a little bit hard. Just thinking about all the stress and the headache, it was a little bit hard.
Well, it's all over, it's now like, oh no.
Yeah. I think the hardest was trying to find women from different backgrounds. And not from the same region, or, you know, from the same area. So it was quite good. I'm quite happy with it. I think it was quite successful. Definitely room for improvement, but the most important thing was to share the stories of these women. And just kind of have people come along, and we had a panel as well, which was quite good.
Yeah, talking about panel, I think let's have a break, because that's my best part.
Okay.
And we'll come back.
Save the best for last.
Let's go for a break.
shiny, but not the cold line. You warm me up the wettest day. Even through the longest night, you shine so bright. You shine so
Welcome back. This is Galwag and Ashley.
Hi.
Before we go back to the panel on that night, mm-hmm. let me throw out a question. The Helping Kurdistan Trust.
Yeah.
I know it was connected with the Wonder Woman and the video you have shown, amazing pictures and heartbreaking story there. But let's go back a little bit. What is the background of the Helping Kurdistan Trust?
So Helping Kurdistan Trust is an organization that I formed, or established. And the idea is to help the refugees and the internally displaced people in the camps. So and so that most of them are victims of war from ISIS, is an invasion of ISIS as a prime example. So since 2014, a lot of camps have been set up in the northern region of Kurdistan, Duhok, and thousands of families are displaced, and a lot of Syrian refugees have taken refuge in these camps. And yes, we do get help from international agencies like the United Nations, but it's never enough. And a few of the camps that I have selected to help, they're the ones that don't get the resources that other camps do.
Okay.
So that's the main...
Because all the camps are not the same.
They're not the same, no.
And they don't get the same service.
Yeah. And they're not, there's not enough resources. And especially nowadays with what's happening in Kurdistan, it's getting worse. Let's add the earthquake to that. Thousands, I mean, 600 people died, thousands are injured, and thousands are homeless.
And the world is not talking about it.
Yeah. And exactly. Yeah. And the world is not talking about it. And it frustrates me. I'm trying to not be political, but it really frustrates me, especially because people are in need.
Yeah.
And it's, the situation is just getting worse and worse. And especially because after the earthquake, there's a lot of attention for the, you know, a lot of necessities and resources have been delivered to the victims of the earthquake. But then that means that there's a little bit taken away from the people in the refugee camps.
Yeah, sure.
And it's winter. The region where the earthquake happened is very cold. And also the region where the camps are set up is also very cold. So two completely different regions, but very, very cold regions. And amongst mountains and it's snowing and,
plastic tents
are not enough.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of lives have been lost because of winter. Children have died. So, I try to help and fundraise. Yeah. But at the same time, New Zealand is also my home. And so is Kurdistan. So with activities or with fundraising that I do for Kurdistan, I try to do a little bit for New Zealand as well. So the whole idea is to do something in New Zealand whilst helping the people there. With Wonder Woman, I wanted to do a bit of both. So earlier in January, I visited some of the women in the camps in Kurdistan, in the northern region of Iraq. And I had interviewed them. They talked about their stories and quite sad. And this can be accessed on our YouTube channel as well.
Yeah.
If they search Helping Kurdistan Trust,
okay.
Our listeners can go in and listen to the interview and their stories. And I really wanted to share their, the struggles that they've gone through. And
before you might share the struggle they have gone through, maybe you can shed some light your struggle in that. Maybe you need some funding, you need some help, all of that.
So at the moment we're with winter coming just around the corner, it's our summer, but it is their winter. So December, January is quite cold. So some of the ways that we're fundraising is through online donations.
Okay.
So we do have our website, which is www.helpingkurdistan.org. And on that website, we have our projects. So Camping in the Cold is one of them. And the idea is to purchase necessities for the children and their family in those regions. When I went back to Kurdistan, I built some connections and networked with some NGOs that help in those camps. And I, after having a discussion with them, it was brought to our attention that it was children's winter clothing or children's clothing that's most important in winter. So a lot of children have died from, the cold climate. And blankets quite important. So those two options.
One of the experience I have, a personal experience in the United States, is we established a trust, because back home in our country in South Sudan we have so many genocides one after another. And there are kids that did not have any parent. They were all killed. And then we put money together and we bought a lot of stuff, and then we shipped the things there. And the worst part is a lot of mismanagement in the receiving end. So this is very worrisome.
Yeah.
And it's not a very good result, actually. It was not amazing. Yeah. So in your case, does it happen to you sometime? Or is there some sort of feeling of it might be there?
In terms of the items we send or no. So that was one of the reasons why I went back.
Okay.
So I went back and I had a few organizations in mind that I was planning on working with. And after going back and kind of having a look at how they operate and a few discussions here and there, I chose two that I trust.
Okay.
That are honest.
From the community.
From NGO that work with these refugees.
Okay.
And internally displaced people.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Organizations that work with them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it may be that we may send items from here that get donated. Or, we did recently in July, we did a fundraised for baby formula because there was a shortage of
baby formula
in the camps. You know, the women are stressed, they cannot produce milk.
Yeah.
Children were dying. So
that should be a substitute.
Yeah. So we raised funds for over 250 containers of baby formula.
Oh, that's a good one.
In New Zealand, however, each container is about $20 to $30. I'm not too sure. Roughly around that. In Kurdistan, it's much cheaper.
Okay.
So much cheaper. So it was ideal to purchase it from there. So we had to send the money over. They would purchase it. They would send over the receipt. So we can calculate and make sure that every single cent is literally spent on this.
And I think that's what's amazing, is that we're trying, we are as transparent as you can be with our online donations. They, each time a person donates, the price goes up, or the amount goes up.
Okay.
So people can see how much has been donated. So it's almost like the GoFundMe and, you know, the crowdfunding.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that. And I think that's very important in this day and age, especially if you've got a, you know, charity or a fundraising going on. It's quite important for everybody to see how much you've fundraised and, yeah, yeah, you know, where it's going and what the money's being used for. Is it going to the right people?
Yeah,
and
or to the wrong hands.
Mismanagement,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
and
places, yeah.
Yeah. That I'm very, very careful of, and I take that very seriously as
well.
Yeah,
that's very, you're doing very good work. And if you are listening and you need to donate to the Kurdistan kids in the camp, you can do so through www.helpingkurdistan.org. .org.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Very great job.
Thanks.
So, and yeah, let's come back to the Wonder Woman.
Yeah. So I wanted to share the stories of these women to kind of be like that this is what a displaced or refugee woman kind of goes through.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst at the same time sharing the stories of successful women in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Because our families too have been in those camps.
Mm-hmm.
We also have faced that, especially being Kurdish with so many years of just genocide and, you know, so many issues. We also have faced that. So it's almost like, look at them, you know, that's where we started, and but this is sadly, it's still happening, and, you know, let's flip it around and celebrate how we have been able to help these women and their families through baby formula, through sending them necessities. So, you know, it was a celebration, more of a, you know, they do need help, of course, but it was more of a celebration as how New Zealand has been able to help these women and how the women in New Zealand have been able to help, you know, the you know, give back to the community in New Zealand. So we put, tried to find a way and, you know,
to balance things,
to collaborate and put everything together, and I think it was quite successful.
That's really a very good one. Yeah, let's go for a break a little bit, and then we'll come back to the same Wonder Woman topic.
Yep.
It's so good. back to Rasaro Radio. I'm Galwa Shul and...
I'm Ashley.
Yeah, welcome back. We are talking about Wonder Woman. Who came up with the name Wonder Woman?
Me. Because I think, obviously, it's from that character, an cartoon character, and she's amazing. Yeah. And she's a wonderful woman. Yeah,
it fits the character and the whole thing, and it really fits well.
I thought too it was a perfect name.
and you brought on board amazing women, actually, good team. Yeah,
that they're team. Amazing.
Yeah,
the things that they do and how they've been successful, and it's quite nice that they're actually quite humble about it too.
Yeah.
One of the women, and I'm going to say this now because I completely forgot to mention it on the night, one of the women, Shadi, she got awarded New Zealander of the Year and Property Manager of the Year. New Zealand, yes. And she didn't even mention it that night, did she?
Yeah, no, she didn't mention it.
So she's so humble about it, so I have to mention it today. You know, they're doing amazing things, and she came here as a refugee.
Yeah, she got a nice sister, I'm telling you. And she will be in the book, too.
Yes, she will, so quite excited to share her stories.
Hey, if you are listening, we are coming up with a second book of Beyond Refuge. It's going to be interesting. And I think we're going to launch it next year, early next year, maybe around February, or at the end of February sometime there. Yeah, it's going to be so interesting. We've got a lot of amazing contributors in that story. So we don't want to tell you who are those people, but...
just did. Well, at least we told them there's going
to
be one.
Well, we only one name that we mentioned. They don't know the rest. We have over 10 participants, so they don't know. They only know one name now. Yeah. So welcome to the... let's talk about this. Wonder Woman again, the panel. I thought it was well arranged.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys discuss that we were going to have the panel?
I briefly told them.
Mm-hmm.
This was a bit of...
Because when they got up to the panel, it's like, you know, it's not a surprise to them.
I told them there was going to be a panel. And they said, but why? We've done our talking. We just, you know, just want to sit down. And them, including myself, quite nervous public speakers. So I think they, you know, they thought...
Because the question part would be the hardest part. This is what they were thinking.
Yeah, and especially because when you're presenting your story, you know what you're saying, but when somebody's asking you, you don't know what they're going to ask.
Yeah.
You know, so they were a bit nervous. But I think it was... We had some amazing questions.
Yes, very amazing questions. And I like the one that the other lady, I don't know the name, but the question was directed to Asia about the woman leadership and network. I think that was a very good question. And I was thinking back in my mind, I thought the woman is from the leadership network too. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
She actually passed her card and she said, can I please be part of it? And we said, you definitely can.
Yeah,
so Asia sent her an email yesterday. She was quite interested.
The
panel
amazing.
Was very good, actually. I was quite pleased. We had quite a few questions.
And I liked the way it was, like, you know, wide open.
Yeah.
Across,
you know,
the board, yeah.
And they, you know, they had the option of asking anybody from all of us.
I think my next time, I think it can be done every year. To me, it's a very good program. And maybe next time we will invite other women, even though they will not speak, but they will be part of the audience so that they can see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is an environment where, you know, they can work too.
And even Maritime Museum, they actually just this afternoon emailed and said, thank you, like, it was amazing, you know, definitely would like to see more of this.
And
I replied saying, thank you for hosting us. Like, we should be saying thank you, and I really, really appreciate ARCC support and Maritime Museum. But in terms of doing something, I'm thinking of actually doing something similar, but for the guys. I want to do something with, you know, the men coming forward and sharing their stories and their struggles and their success as well. I think we see a lot of youth and a lot of women. And I guess that's where the research about the males part comes
from. I think that's where it came from, eh?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, because even my brother was like, hey, man, what about us? Like, we've, you know, we want to share our stories too. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that is kind of true.
How old is your brother now?
Hey, I've got two. One was
because
born
if he's above 18, I can get him to the research too.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. I'll definitely get in touch with him. Yeah, he's about 32,
33. Oh, yeah. He fits into that. Yeah, he'll be part of it.
Yeah, so definitely I will try and look at doing something with the men as well.
I think the women are the ones, especially from the southern sector, the women are the ones suffering indeed in this country.
And isolated.
And isolated.
Yeah.
I was in an AGM of ARMS yesterday, and one woman from Afghanistan. Mm. She was talking when she came into this country, she did not know anybody. She could not even speak a word of English.
Mm-hmm.
And she would always be in the house, indoors, could not get out, could not go to grocery stores, and she was so depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And only one woman was telling her, hey, we have a wise collective here. It doesn't matter what language you speak, where you come from, just come in, you might get something you like.
Exactly.
And then he said, you see, now I'm talking to you English, and I could not even stand in front of people before, but now, you know, how far I've come.
And that's also the thing. I mean, before I came into, you know, before I started working with ARCC, I didn't see these things.
Yeah.
I mean, I came to
it's
you.
It's like a different kind of a
exactly.
world you live in.
So I didn't understand. I mean, I'm the type that will take up every opportunity, anything that comes up, I'll say yes, and, you know, grab it and go for it as hard as I can.
Yeah.
Wherein other people can't do that, and they don't do that, and they don't share their stories, and they fall behind. And I think it's quite nice for, you know, organizations like WISE and Women's Leadership Network to kind of be like, come on, guys, you know, you're not alone, and come together, and, you know, we can do this together, and kind of get them out of the isolation. So, It's also quite nice. When I look at it, and I'm like, man, this is exactly what I mean when they say, we're doing some amazing work, and I had no idea.
Sometimes you cannot see what you do, but, you know, you can see it through people.
Yep. And
the networking and all of that come together.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all, it goes down, you know, to all about knowing somebody and, you know, meeting new people and, you know, coming out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a matter of, you know, saying hi to somebody and then you start conversation and things will, you know, one after another.
Taking
off
opportunities that come and, you know.
Yeah, you never know, you know, what maybe your future might start now.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. And one word, you know, would take you to a different world.
Exactly.
Yeah, you never know. I met one girl in the train, and she said she's from Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked her, how long you have been to New Zealand? And then she said, 15 years. And then, oh, okay, everything is all right with you since you came? And then she started crying.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I said, hold on, in the train.
Wow.
She started crying. She said, okay, take it easy. We all have problems, but, you know, let it out. It's fine. So if something that you need help with, so let me know. And then she started talking about housing and how she got kicked out and she didn't know anybody and all of that. And say, okay, I will connect you with some people I know. They might help you out.
Yeah.
You know. These are the things. If you don't talk to anyone, how would you know all this? You know? And this is, these are the things that are necessary in life.
Mm.
You know, yeah, things like that. It's a matter of coming together.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your time, Ashley.
Thank you.
Yeah,
for having me.
We have come to the end of our program, and we will see you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
We'll come back next Saturday. Thank you.
Bye. Say.
concludes our show for this week.
Take care until next Saturday, same time, 10 to 5, on Planet FM 104.6.
And on the web, www.plantaudio.org.nz/resetteredradio.